Good morning and welcome to the Place-Based Methodologies at UTS podcast series. This morning I'm meeting with Associate Professor Paul Allardson from the School of International Studies in the Faculty of Arts and Social Sciences. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Ilaria.
So I would like to start asking you how you understand place in your research.
Okay, well, I come to the research table with a multidisciplinary background, training in history, languages, art, cultural studies, literary studies. And in all of those disciplines that inform my research, place is central to what I call critical storytelling. I'm in firm agreement with Edward Said that texts are not produced in a vacuum, that they are of the world, and therefore they belong to place and they have things to say about place. So place is literally a grounding phenomena in my research.
And which methodology or methodologies do you use?
Most of my research uses the method of discourse analysis because I deal with a lot of texts. However, as I said before, texts are part of the world, and so therefore I, in my research, like to be part of that world, that textual world, and experience the world that the text has sprung from. So I might use observation. I often use a sensory ethnography and a participant observer role is another method that I often use.
And would you be able to define the methodologies that you have just mentioned for us?
They tend to be ones that involve the researcher as a part of the space and place in which the research is taking place. They require the researcher to be reflective, observant, attuned to the stories that are percolating around them. The sensory ethnography, for example, is an interesting one because it enables very viscerally and literally a researcher to have experiences about particular places that if they weren't in that place, they may not pick up. And I can list one particular real world example that if in my history of doing research, I've been very interested in the US-Mexican borderlands and analyzing cultural texts that emanate from, say, one of the border cities like El Paso, which abuts the city, the Mexican city of Ciudad Juarez in the middle of the Chihuahuan desert. Without going to that city, you simply do not and experience it in a sensory way. You simply cannot appreciate the cultural text. You have to actually have the desert sand grit in your sinuses and eyes. You actually have to smell the smells that people on either side of that geopolitical border are smelling. You have to see the pollution, and you actually have to hear the dominance of Spanish in that city. And then you start to build up a sense that they are in an entwined cultural zone, a borderland zone. And I think that's very important. That's a good real world example from my own research.
And do you know if other disciplines use these methodologies?
They do. They're very common in anthropology and ethnography, obviously. They are very common in much cultural studies research, visual arts research as well. History, just to name a few.
And I was wondering about your field work. You have mentioned how you really need to be in El Paso to experience the borderland. Could you please tell us how you go about doing your field work step by step?
Step by step. Okay, this might sound very straightforward and rather silly, but basically one needs to have a certain number of things in one's pocket or bag as we undertake research. The first one is a functioning iPhone or phone camera so that we can take visual records of what we are encountering. I never travel anywhere without a notebook and at least three or four pens and a pencil, because sometimes I like to draw. I have a visual arts background as well. And I always take water and food. And that might sound silly, but that's enough to sustain one doing research. The phone increasingly has become central to fieldwork research because it has so many capacities to assist the researcher, including navigational tools that actually prevent people from getting lost. And also alerting them to the fact that, wow, around the corner there might be something interesting and useful that you would not have encountered.
And using this set of methodologies that you just mentioned, what do you think that can be understood about place and people, or the social life and cultural histories or environmental histories of a place like your borderlands?
Well, they provide a record of place in a particular historical moment. I know from my own research and observations of various parts of the US-Mexico borderlands that things can change dramatically. So the research methods that enable one to keep records of each visit become like historical documents. They become a kind of research archive for the researcher that then builds up accumulatively over time. So it can give surprising insights that one may not get from just, say, maybe a single visit or just a couple of visits. So, and a good example here would be the changes that come to a little border town like Gila Bend in Arizona, which used to have one petrol station run by Mexicans, and it would sell artifacts made in the Mexican state of Sonora, south of Arizona. And I used to visit that town to bypass Phoenix, and I would use that site, that petrol station, as a particular site of kitsch making and also of transcultural forces of Mexico and the USA integrating and working together in very interesting ways. But on my last visit, that petrol station had been renovated. All of the Mexican materials had disappeared. And what had happened in the interim had been the establishment of a very large solar farm on the outskirts of that town, which had totally transformed the economy of that town in a highly surveillant part of the US-Mexico borderlands. So the visual records I took on my last visit showed the history, a history of radical change happening in that particular space.
And would you have any advice for students who want to use these methodologies?
I would. I actually think these methodologies are useful in many disciplines, not just the humanities and social sciences and creative arts disciplines that I work in. And I think that students can start by actually looking at themselves, regarding themselves as participant observers in the life around them. And if they start just starting to look as they walk around a particular neighborhood, noticing what people are doing, noticing what languages they are hearing or reading or seeing in billboards, etc. Noticing whether there are non-human beings around them and why are they present. For example, ibis in the city is another example that resonates very much for Sydneysiders. Are there street signs and architectural details that are surprising? Are there businesses that you have noticed for the first time that are saying to you that there are local, national, international, global connections all around you? I think that would be a really great way of approaching this set of research methods for someone from any discipline.
And what kind of text do you think that our students should be reading before going on the field?
I would recommend, as a teacher as well as a researcher, texts that are very accessible. And sometimes in academia, the methodology texts about methodologies may not be that helpful. But there are a number that I've found very helpful. Gillian Rose's Visual Methodologies is clearly the most interesting and helpful guide to how we interpret visual phenomena, and that's one that I would really recommend to students. And as a sort of side, coming to it from the side, even a book like Borderlands La Frontera by the Mexican-American writer Gloria Anzaldúa, where she actually demonstrates theory and research methods by storytelling, shifting between English and Spanish, for me was a game changer in the terms of the way I regarded critical texts and also research methods. Before that, I had never thought it was possible to do such things, and now I think that it's that in itself is informing my research methodologies.
Thank you. And to finish, you are a cultural studies scholar with an interest, as you have been explaining, in Latino cultures in the Americas. Would you like to make an example from your own research?
Okay. Well, an example from my own research involves this cultural phenomenon called retablos, which are paintings made in Mexico, paintings on tin normally, that celebrate or recreate a particular event that has happened to a particular person or people. And in these little images, there is a little narrative that explains the story. And there's also an image of either the Virgin Mary or Jesus Christ or a saint. Those little images sometimes tell astonishing stories, and I've set up a little archive of some which are actually recording the events of 9/11 from the viewpoint of undocumented Mexicans who were caught in that event but somehow survived. So there's a story there that is a forgotten story of the 9/11 story that is told by these cultural objects.
Thank you very much, Paul.
Thank you.